And he became righteous because he believed in that.
Let's all stand. We'll sing 696, Until Then.
The soul of man is like
Would you lead us, please?
May be seated for a minute. Let me welcome our visitor for this morning. We have Sister Myrna Napper. Sister Myrna Napper is a missionary. She's a part of the Rock of Ages ministry. I think I met some of your some of them. You do prison ministry, right?
Yes, yes.
Jails. That is correct. Yeah, that is correct. Welcome to Chula Vista Baptist Church. Well, today is the first Sunday of the month. It's the first Sunday of the year, as a matter of fact. And we do have a couple of birthday celebrants before we break up and say hi to everybody. The first was Brother Michael and Jackie Gallardo's wedding anniversary. On the fourth is Jeru, Brother Danny Layton, who's now in Japan, celebrated his birthday on the fifth. Also, Brother David Barden on the fifth. And then... anniversaries, Brother John and Wilma, are they here today? They're not here today yet, huh? And then Pastor Wetzel's on the 9th. Nana Verba on the 9th. Marco celebrating birthday. Mia, Silas, Raffi. There's a lot of celebrants this month. So if you are celebrating your birthday and anniversary, would you please stand up so we can sing for you? Any birthday celebrants, anniversaries this month? I have a lot on my list. Anybody not willing to admit that you are celebrating your birthday this month or wedding anniversary? Okay, let's sing to... Let's see. John and Wilma, they're not here. All right. Here's a blessing. Brother Danny Layton, who's actually celebrating birthday on the 5th, sent a letter to us. He says, "Dear Pastor George Valeris, Pat, or whomever, Chula Vista Baptist Church, he sent his tithe and his offering. He's now in Japan. But he constantly sends and supports our church, even though he's no longer here. So that is truly a blessing. Why don't we stand up and go around and shake hands with everybody, okay? Okay. It's good to see everyone today. We do have a PowerPoint presentation for us that kind of reviews what God has done for Chula Vista Valley Baptist Church the past year from January to December of 2017. I appreciate Sister Ruthie and my wife working through this and just enjoy and look at the photos. We'll bring back memories for us. People say, amen, amen. God is good to us, amen. For this coming, for this new year, 2018, my wife, working hand in hand with Sister Ruthie and with Brother Pat, we do have a calendar for 2018. We have not made copies yet. This is the only copy that we have, but if you would like to have a copy of our calendar for this coming 2018, we'll make a couple of copies for each one of us. You can post it on your fridge, and so that you'll remember the events that we have coming. On this calendar, you have birthdays and anniversaries, if you want to call our church members that are celebrating their birthdays. Things like cleanup day, our Lord's Supper and business meeting. Pretty much most of the things that we've thought about are on this calendar. So we'll make your copy. Amen? Let's go ahead. Amen.
Scripture reading. Who's got scripture reading?
Behind you.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp me against me, my heart should not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
amen,
to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock.
Amen.
And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me over unto the will of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the hand of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. You know, this is a new beginning. God has new blessings in store for us. And Satan, our enemy, has new accusations to come against us with. You know what? He's good at it, too. But you know what? Whenever I sin against my Lord, do that which is displeasing in His sight, before I can go to the throne of grace to ask for mercy, Satan comes and points the finger of accusation at me to try to discourage me. But you know what? I humble my heart and fall on my knees, and I go to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness. And you know what? The precious Holy Spirit reassures me. Not only am I forgiven, but God is going to continue to bless me with His loving kindness and tender mercy. Please. And don't let Him stop you. If you belong to God this morning, just remember what the Word of God says, and you're going to be okay. Now listen, this is what He says to me at times. Satan said, this time you've done it. Johnny, you've gone too far. How can the Lord receive you now when you're ruined and scarred? Over something deep down inside of me, the child, you're still my own, and my love for you is still the same. So shout that you come back home. He gave me more than I ever asked for, now more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine when I came back home to Him. Oh, when I asked Him to forgive me, He gave me a robe and a ring. I said, make me one of your servants, but He made me a child of the King. I thought about the years that I wasted as I walked along the lost way. Now I rehearse time and time all the words that I would say. Now when I finally reach my last long year, and my Jesus now I will see, He's running with His arms open wide and love just to welcome me. He gave me more than I ever asked for, or no more than I ever dreamed, more than I could imagine, and when I came back home to Him, oh, when I asked Him to forgive me, He gave me a robe and a ring. I said, just make me as one of your servants, but He made me a child of the King. Now, when I asked Him to forgive me, He gave me a robe and a ring. I said, Lord, just make me as one of your servants, but He made me a child, oh yes He did, of heaven's King. Praise God, hallelujah, I'm a child of a King, not no earthly King, but a heavenly King. Praise God, hallelujah, Lord, to me. Praise God, hallelujah, glory.
Amen. Let's all turn to 601 and stand. Standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of fury have sailed, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Four.
Standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Brother David?
That's great. Dear Lord Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord God, for giving us another day to live, giving us another opportunity to praise you and worship you, Lord God. Just pray, Lord God, bless this blessed offering, Lord God, as a gift and giver, bless the preaching to be preached to us, help us to just put it in our minds, but most especially keep it in our hearts, Lord God. And love you, Lord, in your prayer. Amen. Amen.
So it's a brand new year, and we're going to start off right, and we're going to have Sister Risa come and sing for us. Thank you.
been faithful, amen? As always faithful. I'm glad to see Sister Lori back. She's been gone for over 2 weeks now, right? She was gone for about 2 or 3 weeks. Also, Brother David Barden in the back. I'm glad to see them from, you know, getting out of the hospital. turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. This morning, I would like to talk about the will of God for every Christian. 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you would stand to honor the word of God, I'll be reading from verses 7 through 12, just 5 or 6 verses. Once you're there, say amen. Then once I finish reading verse 12, let me ask Brother Jeff. It's good to see Brother Jeff also. Sister Camille had given birth to a healthy baby, and they're just resting, but I'm glad to see him here today too. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 7 says, "And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee, according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. In verse 9, If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. Notice in verse 10, But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, Come up after me. For the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. Brother Jeff, can you pray for this message, please? Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We come to our part of chapter 14 now. Chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, in my reading, I find to be one of the longer chapters in this book. So we are going to carefully dissect this chapter, beginning with verse 7. Prior to this, we learned that Jonathan had taken the first steps into conquering the nation of the Philistines without telling anybody in verse 2. In verse 3, he did not tell King Saul. In verse 3, we find that no one knew that he was going into the garrison of the Philistines. Now coming on to verse 7, the Bible says that his armor bearer said unto him, notice the character of Jonathan's armor bearer. Jonathan's armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Notice how the armor bearer, I would consider him to be, you know, every boss's ideal worker or servant today. I'm reminded of Ruth. Take a look at Ruth chapter 1. How many of you remember the story of Ruth when she was with her mother-in-law, Naomi? Ruth chapter 1, by way of illustration, take a look at verse 16. Remember what Ruth said to Naomi. There were two women of Moab. One was Orpah and the other one was Ruth. Their mother-in-law had lost her husband, And when we get to verse 16, how many of you remember what Ruth said to Naomi? Notice this, verse 16 of Ruth. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." I tell you, every boss would want to have a servant like that. Every boss would want to have a servant or a worker like that. And I tell you, every pastor would like to have a member like that. Amen? A member who would simply say, "Pastor, I don't know what God's will is for our church, but if God has laid it in your heart, that's what we're going to do." Amen? I guarantee you, every pastor will be grateful for a church member that has that kind of attitude. I remember the story of Forrest Gump. How many of you remember Forrest Gump? Remember Forrest Gump? You'll probably remember his story. Remember how he was going to school and he was turned away by the school because he was not normal. He was not smart enough, they said. The teacher said, "I'm sorry, we cannot accommodate your son, Forrest, because he was just not smart." And Forrest Gump joins the Marines, right? Forrest Gump joins the Marines, and in the boot camp, the drill sergeant asked him the question, "Why did you join the Marines?" Somebody remember his answer. Remember what his answer was? He said, "Well, Sergeant, I am here to do whatever the drill sergeant asked me to do." And you remember what the drill sergeant said? "You are the smartest Marine I've ever known." But such is the character of Jonathan's armor bearer. Jonathan's armor bearer said, "Jonathan, whatever it is in your heart, whatever it is that God has laid in your heart, I'm going to do it." But you know, he's a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at Luke chapter 23, verse 46. In a way, he is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had surrendered his will to God the Father. Luke 23, verse 46. He said during the crucifixion, look at Luke 23, verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Notice how our Lord Jesus Christ had completely given up his will to God the Father. Take a look at Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, the Bible says that he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me." That's Jesus Christ speaking in his humanity. But notice what our Lord Jesus Christ said to God the Father. He said, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." You see, our Lord Jesus Christ had surrendered his will to God the Father. Just like this servant, this armor bearer of Jonathan. But secondly, this armor bearer is also a type of a Christian who is in the will of God. A Christian who is in the will of God is a faithful servant. Now you may ask this morning, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for me this 2018? In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." In John chapter 7, verse 17, the Bible says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." But what is the will of God? What is the will of God for us and for you in 2018? First of all, I want you to notice that there is a surrendered will. Point number one, there is a surrendered will. Jonathan's armor bearer said, "Do all that is in thine heart." The armor bearer had given up his opinion. His bolt, if I may, for whatever his master wanted to do, his will was a surrendered will. In Romans chapter 9, verse 16, the Bible says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." There is a surrendered will. A characteristic of a faithful servant is that he had a surrendered will. Secondly, not only did he have a surrendered will, he had a sanctified will. In verse 7, he says, "I am with thee. I am with thee." The armor bearer acknowledged the fact that he was set apart for that purpose. The armor bearer acknowledged the fact that he was set apart to serve Jonathan. His will was a sanctified will. That the will for every Christian is that so that we may be sanctified. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." See, it is the will of God for every believer not only to have a surrendered life, but even more importantly, to have a sanctified life. And then thirdly, the Jonathan's armor bearer said, "Do all that is with thee." What did he say in verse 7? He says, "I am with thee according to thy heart." He had not only a surrendered will, a sanctified will, and thirdly, he had a suffering will. He had a suffering will. The armor bearer had considered the price he might pay for following Jonathan. And I guarantee you he was fully aware that following Jonathan might cost him his life. But his will was a suffering will. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Verse 8 now of our text. Verse 8, the Bible says, "Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over to these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them." And then in verses 9 and 10, I see a dichotomy, a consideration for what is possible. Take a look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you." I want you to look at your Bible. "Then we will stand in our place, and we will not go up unto them." But the opposite of that is verse 10. "But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us." Here's the message. Jonathan said, "If, then, but if, then we will," in verse 10. In other words, if the Philistines told them to stay where they were at, then they were to stay where they were at. Amen? That's verse 9. Now here's the point. It is possible for the world to influence our decision making. Sometimes we make decisions based on secular things. And here's my argument this morning. In fact, most of the decisions we make in our lives are steered by secular factors. If the Philistines told them not to come up, they were to come up and take it as a go signal from God. Verse 10 said, "But if they say thus, come up," and then they were going to go up. Here's the thing. Jonathan was sensible in making a decision. Let me say it again. Jonathan was sensible in making a decision. He acknowledged the fact that the Philistines could do one or the other. Would you agree? The Philistines could have said, "No, stay there." But at the same time, the Philistines could have said, "No, I want you to come up to us." Now, how many of you know that the Philistines are a type of the world? Amen. And the truth is this. The Philistines could have asked them to stay, or they could have asked them to come up. And regardless of what the Philistines not Jonathan, decided. Jonathan was willing to consider whatever, if I can call it, the secular factor may be. You understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, in our lives as Christians, not everything is set in a straight. Not everything is written in stone. In approaching this 2018, I want you to understand that not only is there a sanctified will and a suffering will and a surrendered will, but to a Christian, there also must be a sensible will. There must be a sensible will. Go to Genesis chapter 13 for an illustration. I'll explain this to you even further. Genesis chapter 13, how many of you remember the story of Abraham and Lot? When God had called Abraham to go to a certain land, Lot came with him. But there came a point in their life as they were walking and journeying towards the promised land. But there was a point in their life when there was a struggle between the people of Abraham and the people of Lot. Take a look at Genesis chapter 13. I want you to start with verse 2 with me. Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, there Abraham called in the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. Remember that story? In verse 7, the Bible says there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And Abraham said unto Lot in verse 8, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Wow, what a lesson. Amen. What a lesson among brethren, among believers today. Abraham said, "Let there be no strife between me and between you." But what I want you to focus on is in verse 9. In considering the will of God for you this 2018, there is a sensible will. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "It's not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me." Notice verse 9. "If thou wilt take the left hand," what did Abraham say? "Then I will go to the right." Then if you choose the right, I will go to the left. You know what that is? That's what the Bible calls and what I'll call a sensible will. And the truth of our Christian life is this, believers. A sensible will makes an allowance for the unknown and the uncontrollable factors in life. Let me say it again. A sensible will makes an allowance for the unknown and the uncontrollable factors in life. You know, as we face this new year, you may have sat down to plan some things this year. How many of you did that? You have certain things that you had planned out for this year, 2018. But as Christians, we need to have a sensible will to accept the fact that there may be factors in our lives that can affect and go contrary to our plans. Would you agree? Amen? I mean, you can be the best planner in life. You may feel like you've covered every angle and every possibility in your planning. But the truth is this. The truth is that you have to make an allowance for things that might blindside your plans. Amen? You know, some Christians are so rigid in what they want to do in life and how they want to do things. They are set in their ways. Often and sooner than later, they forget that there are factors, even in the Christian life, that you cannot plan for. There are things in our life that you cannot foresee, and there are many things in our life that you have no control over. Amen? You know, in approaching this 2018, yes, go ahead and plan. Yes, have a plan for this 2018, but I want you to have a sensible will. And a sensible will knows and makes an allowance for what is unknown and what is uncontrollable in your life. You cannot foresee an accident. Amen? You cannot control death and dying. You cannot make another person run their life according how you want them to run their lives. Amen? Your will as a Christian has to be sensible. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Practical lesson this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. I'm looking at verse 11. Philippians chapter 4. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned, underline that phrase, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased and how I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know what that is? That is called the sensible will. There is a surrendered will. There is a sacrificial will. But this 2018, you better have a sensible will. You have to make an allowance for the things that you cannot foresee. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen? I know a couple of Christians that are so rigid in how they want things. This is what I want, and if it does not happen, their lives would fall apart. How many of you know people like that? You know, sometimes we are so fixed on what we want to do. This is what I want to do, and nothing can interfere with it. Guess what? There are many things in this life that you cannot control. Amen? And many Christians in their rigid thinking and wanting something and being so straight in their thinking, not willing to accommodate what might come, when it does not go their way, what happens to that Christian? Amen? How many of you are like that? If it does not go your way, you stop coming to church. Amen? I want the church to be run this way. I want the church to be run a certain way. And if the church does not run a certain way, I'm out of here. Amen? I want a certain thing in my life. If I don't get it in my life, I'm just going to give up everything about life. I will not care about life anymore. I know people like that. They have a certain ambition. They have a certain career mindset that they wanted to do. And guess what? They fail. And what happened? They're no longer in church. Because that one thing that they held so dear in their life, the one thing they were so fixated about, God had taken it away. There were factors that are outside of them. There were Philistine factors outside of them that they could not foresee, that they could not control. And when it came across their path and their plans failed, what happened? They've given up. I tell you, in phasing 2018, your will better have a sensible will. You have to make an allowance for the unknown and the uncontrollable factors in life. That is a practical teaching. Take a look at verse 11 now. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. As Jonathan and his armor bearer poaches into the garrison of the Philistines, the Philistines saw them. Notice how in verse 11, the Philistines were not even alarmed that they were Israelites in their camp. They mocked them and said, look, the Hebrews came out of their holes. Wow, they were not even intimidated by Jonathan and his armor bearer. They saw that there were only two of them. Boastingly, the Philistines bragged. They said, come up. They were bragging that there were more of them than Jonathan and his armor bearer. They must have been thinking, well, what can you do to us? You are completely outnumbered. You know what Jonathan did? Jonathan took the confidence and the underestimation of the Philistines as the go signals, as the go signal. Because he knew that. Look at verse 12. He says, come up after me. But Jonathan knew that the Lord had delivered them into the hand of Israel. You see? There is a surrendered will. There is a sanctified will. There is a sacrificial will and a sensible will. But finally, there is a secured will. There is a secured will. Ladies and gentlemen, the hope, the strength, and the victory of the Christian life is based on the fact that yes, there may be factors in our life that we cannot foresee and control. But those factors do not really matter so much. Why? Take a look at Psalms 37 verse 23. Psalms 37 verse 23. Why is it that in the life of the Christian, the unknown factors of our life, the unforeseeable things in our life that may seem to go contrary to our plans, do not really matter so much? Why is that? Here's why. Psalms 37 23, the Bible says, read it aloud with me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen? You see, it does not really matter whether the uncontrollable things, the unforeseeable things, and the unknown things of this life interfere and conflict with our plan. Because at the end of the day, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that is the will of God. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he, not your plans, not your wittiness, not your education, not your brain, who is able to keep that which I have committed? Jesus Christ is. You see? There's a song that goes something like this. You may have heard of it. The song says something like, if you can't see his plan and you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Amen? When the unforeseeable, when the uncontrollable come your way, trust his heart. Let me close with this illustration. My nephew Jayus, about 2 or 3 years ago, he was born with a congenital heart failure. My brother and my sister-in-law had gone through a very, very difficult time during that time. I was working in LA at that time, and I was going through my ministry studies, and I kept thinking, why? Why would God give a child, a one-year-old child, he was about 16 months at that time, why would God give a child a hole in his heart? What has the child done? What wrong, what sin has the child committed? Ever thought about that? People would often ask, why is there suffering in this life if there is a God? people will say, well, if there is a God, why do I see young children suffer? Why is there suffering on earth? Why? I guarantee you, my brother and my sister-in-law did not know, did not foresee that they were going to have a son with a hole in his heart. And I guarantee you, they could not control the situation. I was there. They could not control it. There was nothing they could do. There was nothing they could do. You could not create or recreate a heart, a human organ. You can't. It was an uncontrollable situation. It was an unforeseeable situation. But the end of the story is a good ending. Amen? Little did they know that there was going to be another child in another state that would drown and would match Jairus' heart. He had a heart transplant. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that my brother could have controlled that factor of that child drowning? Do you think that my sister-in-law could have controlled the matching of both organs? Nothing. They could not control any of that stuff. But at the end of the day, he received that new heart. 4th of July, right? The 4th of July. But none of those things they were able to control, none of those things they were able to foresee. But God worked it out. Amen? Oh, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. There was a prayer written by an American theologian by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr in 1892. Here's a prayer. In approaching 2018, let me encourage you. One, there is a surrendered will. Two, there is a sanctified will. Three, there is a sacrificial will. And four, there's a sensible will. But finally, this 2018, I want you to know that there is a secured will of God. Amen. There is a secured will of God. The theologian prayed this prayer. The prayer goes, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. The courage, the things that I can. And how does that prayer end? And wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In approaching 2018, if you are not saved today, how about you start this new year by coming to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you are not saved today, as the piano plays, and if you know you need to come, you know you need to come. How about you surrender your will to Him? But if you are a Christian, my question is, have you surrendered your will? Have you sanctified your will? And is your will sensible? And if you're struggling today, if you're in fear of facing this new year, can I encourage you? There is a secured will. There is a secured will. The altar is open. As we stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to come, the altar is open. you have not followed scriptural baptism, or if God has led you to this church to be a part of this church, how about you surrender your will? Surrender your will. People say,
amen.
Give me number 380, verse 1.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands there, let them.
Amen. Brother Raul, can you close us in prayer, please?